Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast once again. Grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. We thank God for all of you that listen to this broadcast here in the United States. Welcome to another God's Word to Men broadcast. Those of you in Canada, welcome. Welcome, Mexico. Welcome, Iraq and India, Algeria. Welcome. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We thank God for all of you in every country that's listening to this broadcast that I have not named. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Men broadcast. Phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, to contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. Amen. Today is Friday. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what this means. Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining him. Thank God for this golden opportunity and door he has opened for us to give you the gospel. And as we wait for my brother to come on, glory to God. I am so grateful to the chance that God has given us. And he has given us a great chance to give his word out right now while the opportunity is here. Because the time will come where that the true believers will be denied access to the TV, the radio, the internet, they'll be denied access to spread the gospel. Amen. And we have to be prepared for that. Amen. And right now we have to take advantage of the opportunity that's been given us here on internet radio. Thank you, Jesus. So we're grateful to that. And we're grateful once again to this time that God has given unto us. Glory to God. And I want to say once again, I thank God for all you that have been praying for me and Brother Robert Gross as we've been doing this, this series. And once again, your prayers are very much needed. Okay. You know, I can't stress that enough. Of how that I'm so grateful for the prayers of the saint. So grateful. Amen. And these are the times today, beloved, that we have to set up more time to spend with the Lord and be prepared for the things that are to come. It's not a time to be, you know, laying around and taking advantage, per se, or taking for granted, if I should say, of this time that we're given. Because, as me and Brother Robert have been telling you, there is coming a time of persecution here in the U.S. that many, it's fair to understand, it's going to be great. And I'm talking about the persecution of true believers. Every believer is not going to be everyone professing. Let me put it this way. To being a believer is not going to be persecuted per se, especially those that are unfaithful, because the unfaithful is going to try to, quote, wiggle their way out of it. Okay? Amen. But you make sure that you personally standing in the right way with the Lord. Amen. Make sure that person. Glory be to God. Our God is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice and rejoice, because Jesus Christ is Lord. And there is none greater than him. There is none before him. Neither would there be any after him. And no one possesses the knowledge that he has, the know-how that he has, okay? No one possesses a greater wisdom than our God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I am so humbled for such a time as this that is given me to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is truly a humbling time. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother. God bless. Well, seems as we're having some technical difficulties. Our brother had called in, but his call didn't go through. So he's going to call back again. We bind you, Satan, and every work of the enemy. We bind right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Let's try this again. God bless you, brother.
Greeting, sir. Shalom. Jesus Christ is, was, and is Lord. And the soon coming King. So we greet you and salute you. And to all the saints around the world, and to every person that's within our range of hearing, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity. We acknowledge you and the Holy Spirit and your death on the cross and your resurrection, and also you being our perfect high priest at the right hand of the Father, who is now interceding in our behalf. What we do it to your glory, and we submit it to you for your honor. Thank you, Lord. Cover us in the blood of Jesus. Cancel all the works of the enemy. Give your angels charge over us to turn away every evil interference in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful day. It's getting a little cooler here in 30 degrees. I love it. And I'm grateful. And how are you doing there in Durant, Mississippi, or in that area?
We got about 60 degrees now. I'm grateful for the 60. Thank God for the 60 degrees. Not like the 30 that you're experiencing now. I'm grateful for the 60.
Yeah, we got to learn to be grateful. The Bible says, indicate that in every whatever state concerning our state, to learn to be concerning welfare of Zion, especially into our lives, learning how to be grateful instead of complaining. And so complaining, it doesn't really help, draw us the wrong thing, but let us learn to be grateful. Paul said, whatever state concerning want, he didn't say need, according to want. Want and needs are two different things. People want a lot. And the Lord wants to prosper and bless us and give us all that he's promised within his will. So I'm grateful today for the handmaids tonight to honor the women of God around the world, especially the mothers and the wives and the helpers of mankind in every way. And I salute especially the handmaidens of the Lord around the world, and those wives who have the great task of raising the next generation and the mothering the next generation. I commend them. Especially the intercessors now in Christ, because women mostly are more sensitive to prayer, cunning women, and it seems that women has always been more sensitive to the Lord and soften to intercede. So I do commend them.
Amen.
And so it's time to be blessed. And so all of our people, wherever your state, whether you're in Venezuela, Brazil, Rome, Mexico, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Australia, Israel, whatever land you are, we come with without price, without cost, without asking you for any money, without any games or scam to try to get money out of your pocketbook, just to get your soul and life in line with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Redeemer, that you may partake of his grace. And we come to share and testify concerning the gospel of Christ. And that's the good news, that Jesus wants you, and he has need of you, and he wants to give you life. And he wants to give you redeemed life. So everyone out there in every nation, every place, in every continent where we reach, we're grateful that we have this opportunity to share with you and talk with you about the good things of the Lord that he has for your life. If you're in a nation where you're having great conflict and great oppression, and you're in a nation where you have people that are the rulers are oppressors and tyranny and being used in a very destructive way, we pray with you that the Lord will give you a deliverance in a better way. We pray for the women of God who around the world who have to bear the brunt, the mothers, the fathers in many lands or in the army, or either they're not there, or they've been conscripted into the army, especially in communist and Islam nations. They don't have too much choice. In many of these nations under communist and Islamic rule, your freedom is really much restricted. But in America, United States, where many people flee because we have liberty and freedom that other nations do not have generally. So we're grateful to be in Zion in America, where we have this freedom and liberty given us of God to convey with you a more blessed hope that you can have in life and in the life to come. So we greet you in that name, that awesome name. Some of you in your language, we speak English now, and we don't believe that English is the only language now, because we are English-speaking people, and we refer to Jesus in our tongue, the English, which is called Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. We call him Jesus, the Christ, translated out of the Greek into the English. But in the Hebrew, Jesus was a Hebrew Israelite of the lineage of King David, and his Hebrew name is usually referred to as Joshua or Yeshua. And so oftentimes you hear us referred to as his Hebrew name, Yeshua. And the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, is also referred to out of the Greek in the Hebrew tongue as Yahshua or Yahweh. And so often we refer to his Hebrew and not always his English pronouncing name. Us English people think that I guess we are the mother tongue for everybody, and that we think that Jesus was an English-speaking person, but he was born in a Middle Eastern country, Jerusalem, from a lineage of Israel, the Hebrew people. So therefore, you know, he spoke the Hebrew and the Aramaic and whatever language of that day. And so don't be offended that we Americans think that everything is in English. So it's not. So, but we appreciate as But Nate and I, our ancestors come from faraway lands, and that we are referred to in this nation as Black Americans or colored Americans. But in Christ, we all are one, but in this world, we are separated into ethnic groups, so we're not foolish enough to think that's a reason for that. But in the body of Christ, when we come in Christ, we're all called the sons of God to redeem in Christ the seed of Abraham. So I just want to put that as a platform to everybody, that the Lord Jesus accept you from every nation, every place, every color, every kind, because he made all creatures on the earth. So I want you to know that he welcomes you, no matter what your culture, your color, skin, whatever your state, your financial state, he welcomes you. Thank you, Jesus. He welcomes you to the kingdom. He welcomes you to receive life and redemption and forgiveness of your sins and iniquities and a new heart and a new spirit. One thing about the gospel of Christ is called good news. If you read the book of Luke, the angels came and said, good news, glad tidings to the shepherds. And we're closing the time where we celebrate the birth of Christ, especially in the Western world. And so by our calendar, even though he may not actually been born on December the 25th, we actually just celebrate that date. I don't want people to get confused that we're celebrating any of those pagan things that attach to the celebration of Christ. We don't celebrate any of those pagan things that they assimilate to call Christmas. But there's a lot of pagan things. So we're not in the gospel doesn't give us any leeway to celebrate any pagan attachments to Christmas. So we're going to get that straight. We're just glad that people are remembering that a Savior was born. And we are reminded every year that it's a great time, the whole world, that we remind the world that Jesus, the Savior, was born in this world of a virgin. And so, but all the festival things, and we're glad, that's good. But some of it is not so good because it takes away from the real biblical birth of Jesus, and they add a lot of things to it. It has nothing to do with the birth of Christ, but they add a lot of stuff to it. So we just want to make those things clear because a lot of time confusion is about celebrating Christ's birth, and people think that you got to do all of this different stuff, like hit the holly and Christmas tree and the Santa Claus and the radio. Well, all that stuff is fictional. We know that, but it seems to make the kids happy, but I'm not too much into it. I'm into the biblical view of birth of Christ, the biblical view of the birth of Christ. I think if we stick to that, we'd be better off. What do you think, brother?
I agree. I definitely agree with you there, brother.
All right, so I don't want you to go and spend those $2,000 on no Christmas gifts. But if you want to do it, I'm sorry, I apologize. If you want to go spend $2,000 on a gift, maybe I think sometimes it's good to give people gifts if they're in need. Now, I think that it's a good time to remind people of the love and the gifts of Jesus Christ, that the greatest gift to mankind is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the gift. And if it's his birthday, we should be giving something to him instead of people wanting to give something. I think it's a time that we should give to him since we're celebrating his birthday. What does he want? He wants you. He wants the life. He wants your heart. He wants your desire. He wants you to submit your will. He wants you to have salvation. And then if you want to give to people that are in need, that are poor and hungry and desperate, the second thing, make sure that they get the gospel of Christ. If they give the gospel of Christ, they receive the greatest gift. Now, if you want to give them some earthly things they need, that's great. That's a demonstrative love. If you want to give them some earthly things to fill their need, make them happy and let God know them, that's good. But I think too much of the pagan side has crept in, too much heathen has been attached. I don't know whether it comes to the Roman Catholic Church or whoever attached all that stuff to Christmas, but some of it is not too good because it's not really biblical true. And so it gets people a lot feeling bad because they can't buy all these gifts, and people get all depressed because they ain't got nothing and I can't get a gift. But I'm here to tell you, beloved, you can have the greatest gift without money or price. You can have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come into your life and transform your life into joy. Merry Christ was born. So if you want the greatest gift given to you today, being redeemed, being delivered, being transformed, being part of the kingdom of God, you can say, Jesus, the greatest gift, the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, come live your life in me. Save me, deliver me, give me the joy of heaven. Give me the joy of heaven. And he will come and give you the greatest gift. So don't worry about this. You can't get all these material stuff. And I know we train our kids. They have commercialized our kids. And all our kids in America feel guilty if they don't get $300 of this and $300 of that. And we have to retrain our children instead of thinking that way. That Christmas is all about you getting the $200 or $300 Nike shoes and getting all this stuff. We got to retrain our thinking because our kids, they're poor, some of those that were less fortunate. Oh, I can't got nothing. I can't get no Nikes. See, that's the part that I don't care about, that's Christmas stuff. They don't commercialize, propaganda our children thinking that they had to get all in debt to have a Merry Christmas. What do you think, brother?
Yes, yes, yes. I do agree with you, brother, 100%. Yes, Lord.
Of course, I done got in trouble by doing away with their little things. But I got to talk from the Bible point of view. I got to talk from the scriptural birth of Jesus. And you notice that the three wise men, they brought gifts to Jesus. They brought gifts to Jesus. So if you want to give a gift to somebody that's in special need, the jail or orphans or widows or seniors or hungry people or street people, to let them know Jesus, that's great. If you want to give a donation to take the gospel can be gold to many nations. If you want to give a donation to help the poor in Haiti and Africa and Afghan and Romania and China, these people that have desperate needs. If you want to give a gift in the behalf of the Lord Jesus from your heart, then good. Amen. Okay?
Amen.
So, amen. That a gift wrapped with the love of Jesus. But I want you to think that don't stop at December. Remember, January is coming. And I think Jesus wants you to carry that Christ love all the way 12 months. Don't wait till December come now. Because they could stop the death between December and the next December. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's not start giving and demonstrate just December 25th. We give them. But what are they going to do about January and February and March when they don't have no clothes, no shoes, no hunger, no nothing? Do we still celebrate Christ and give them the gift of love? I think that's the way it ought to go. As Jesus would say, I'm sure he said, let it continue all year long.
Amen.
Amen. If you're going to do good, then continue. If you continue acting in Jesus' name, say, I'm celebrating. If you don't get what they call a Christmas tree, don't feel bad because the Christmas tree has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. And if you want one, fine. Your family wants you a guy. I said, but I want you to know that a Christmas tree and the Hockey Dog has nothing to do with the biblical birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't feel bad if you can't get one. I don't want y'all kids looking all mopey. We ain't got no Christmas. If your Christmas, if people want you to have it, I guess, you know, it's okay. That's your mother, father, whoever. But if you don't want children, you're still loved. And I want you to know that dear Jesus' birth is nothing about that tree. It has nothing to do with no Santa Claus. It has nothing to do with no tree. Okay? So don't be looking for no, for me to drop no $300 Nike shoes under your tree. I'm afraid that if you need some shoes, I got to get you on January and February and March and April, and I ain't going to wait till no December because you got to live another month.
Amen.
Oh, man. Did I bust a lot of bubbles, brother? Did I make people, Because,
you got the pot stirred that time, brother.
Let me stir it up some more then. You know, that's my job, to stir up the pot. Okay. A lot of people have suffered some loss because of this coronavirus. Jobs, business closed down, right? A lot of people are suffering in many areas. and they lost their about to take care of their families or loved ones. Businesses closed, small businesses, and all kind of businesses have suffered. People laid off, jobs off. So don't get all down because you can't buy a lot of monetary or earthly things. This is a good time, a wonderful time during this coronavirus is to give your life to Jesus Christ. He is the gift that God sent to the earth to give you and to give every man the gift of salvation, redemption, deliverance, that the one true living God sent his only begotten son, John 3:16. So if you want to celebrate it in a biblical way, say, I want Jesus Christ not be just a person I read about in the book, A Christmas Carol. I want him to come real in my life, introduce himself to me, that he's still alive, that he died for my sins and rose again, and he wants to introduce himself to my life. Now, if you want to take that view, you'll be taking the right view that the Bible says. He came into the world to seek and save the lost, to redeem us from the curse of the law, of sin and death, sickness, disease, and poverty. So today is your Christmas. Have a personal thing. Everybody have a personal thing, but I'm giving you the biblical blueprint, the biblical blueprint about the birth of Christ. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin woman gave birth to the Savior of the world, the Holy Messiah of Israel. Okay, we blew that. I'm through stirring it up, brother, because time is passing. So I don't want to stir the pot no more.
Okay. Amen.
So if you have something extra, beloved, especially if you're a Christian, go take it to the person that's hurting and have a great need. Please think of this. Love goes beyond itself. Your children may have enough of things, and your grandchildren. What about those people who can hardly get one meal and pay their light bill, the gas bill, and about to be put out? Demonstrate the love of God. Tell your children we're going to take most of our resources and give to people, the children that don't have anything. Hallelujah. I think they would be better served, right? What do you think? Could be wrong.
Amen.
All right. We don't need no extra suit. I got enough suits in the closet. I got enough shoes. And a lot of people have a lot of stuff, and they want new stuff. You know how?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Haven't even worn the stuff that God done blessed it with already. They done worn it 2 or 3 times. Now they want to throw it away. That is very ungrateful, brother. I believe the Lord Jesus blesses us more and more. But I think that as Western Christians, we don't understand why the Lord keeps blessing us more and more. It's not just for us. The more you get, the more he wants you to bless others. I could be wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when the Lord just began to shower you with much, the reason he's giving you much, because he wants you to share it, right? The more you get, the more he wants you to share it. Give and it shall be given you. Hallelujah. Didn't the Father give us his only begotten Son, the greatest gift? Didn't the Father of eternal God, didn't he not give us the greatest gift, his only begotten Son? Yes.
Amen. Yes,
all right, then. Well, we ought to think that way. I'm trying to get rid of some of my selfishness. I'm trying to get rid of some of my selfishness, brother. Oh, hallelujah!
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. All right. The curses blesses the blessings. The curses of the law, and the blessings of Abraham. The Lord is anxious to bless his people and even to bless the whole earth. So if you're in a nation and you're listening today, know the God of Abraham, the God of the Bible, creation and redemption, that he wants to bless you. What is that blessing? Gospel of Christ. His only begotten Son. This is the Christmas package he wants to deliver to you. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. My name is Brother Lee, and we are servants of Christ and of the kingdom of God and servants of the gospel, and we are part of a body of believers who refer to themselves as the Church of Christ with Elijah message. We have been receiving for many years an angelic message from God concerning the end time. And this angel is spoken of in Revelation chapter 18 and 1 and Revelation 14 and 6 and many other scriptures in Zechariah. You'll find in Zechariah, I think, chapter 2 and 4, where the angel of the Lord. He's the Elijah promise in the last day, the Elijah messenger in Malachi 4. And so it's hard to believe that angels are visiting people. People more likely will believe they're demons, but I believe that demons and devils, but also believe that angels of God exist, and they do God's purpose and do God's will, and they are sent to minister to mankind and bring instructions and direction and protection to mankind. So we have an angel that's been visiting, fulfilling the scriptures, fulfilling the prophecies of the Bible in these last days, which is called the Midnight Cry. So we just want to bring that to you. Hallelujah. And this angel that has been coming, who certifies that the Bible is God's word and testifies that Israel is God's chosen and the church is the redeemed sons of God. Now, we're not saying that every church is the redeemed body of Christ, but we're saying that there are people that are called the body of Christ, redeemed, that are considered to be the people of God. And we're not foolish enough to say that everything that call itself Christ and call itself the church is the church of Christ. We're not foolish to think that. Neither are we foolish to think that all the religions in the world were conceived by the living God, because he wanted everybody to be confused. He did not conceive all of these religions. This comes from the mind of Satan and of man. And we'll get to that today, even though you're offended and you want us to tell you a lie that all religions come from God. I know that'll make probably some of you feel good and say we are not fanatic, we're not narrow-minded, and we are not, we are self-righteous. But I have to tell you what the Bible says. All of these religions of the world, they were not conceived by the living God. They did not come from the living God, and he did not bring them. And that's why the Bible comes. That's why the prophets and the apostles, that's why we're given the Bible, to know the one true God and the one true way. Jesus said, I come to point the way, John 14. And so Jesus Christ as Lord is the only true light. Now listen to this, beloved. This is going to sound self-righteous, but I'm charged to tell you this. I'm commanded of God to tell you this. Jesus Christ, the one we call Yeshua HaMashiach, the God of Israel, the Son of the living God, the Holy Messiah who died on the cross of Calvary and rose again, Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, is the only way back. The only way back. Well, back to the living God. Back to eternal life. In fellowship with the living God. The only way. Now, my name is Brother Lee, and a lot of people may not agree with me, and they may not like me, and that's all. That's okay, because I don't like everybody either. I'm just commanded to love them. I don't have to like all their ways, but I have to have demonstrate the love of God to them, no matter what I like or dislike about them. So I'm overcoming some of that. I no matter what I dislike about people, I have to demonstrate the love of Christ to them. Okay? Hallelujah. That's what the love of God does to you. Now, we're going to talk about for a short time. What do you say, Brother Nate?
Amen. I'm just agreeing with you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad to have some nice, clean water, brother. You know, a lot of nations don't have drinking nice, clean water. They got disease water. You know that?
Amen.
So we go to the Americans, mostly the civilized, the people that we call civilized, who have laws and governing, and they govern their lives and their way of life. I go to the faucet, and I can pour the water, and I can get, some must live it a water that's fit to drink. Right now in America and Western world, our waterways are polluted and poisoned, and we have to really filter these waters. But we are more blessed than many people. We can drink all the water we want through filter. And in our homes, we got running water. Inside of our homes, most of the American people have got water. So I want to say to you, Lord, I thank you for good drinking water, at least water that we're able to drink to a certain degree. So let's be grateful for the water drinking, Brother Water.
Amen.
We find so much to complain about, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. Seems like sometimes we don't run out, brother.
And the devil, as you get through start complaining, he going to stand right there and try to help you out to keep on complaining, right? He said, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Amen.
Oh, my God. He'll feed you, brother. He'll say, feed your mind. Say, oh, you're doing exactly what I want. You're destroying your faith. You're destroying your hope. The words that come out of your mouth are the words that I want you to speak, and I'm going to hasten to bring them to pass. So Satan said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you destroy. But tonight we come to give you hope wherever you are in a hopeless, dark, chaotic situation around the world. Even America is having its great problem, great difficulty. And we come to give you hope tonight, eternal hope and earthly hope. And now hope. We come to give you living hope, real hope, absolute hope. We don't come to you, earthly things can't give you absolute hope. Nothing earthly you own or possess can give you eternal peace or eternal life. I don't care how much money, how much land, which can be good, housing, things. Those are temporal things, earthly things. They cannot give you eternal hope. They cannot give you eternal life, eternal peace with God, nor redemption, nor forgiveness of sin, nor the hope of eternal life. They cannot give you those things. So we come to give you that the Lord wants you to be blessed in this life as well as to receive a place with him in the next life. But the only way is Jesus Christ. And I have to emphasize this again because there's so much confusion in the world. Now, here's the thing about the problem, how Satan has wrought the confusion. The largest, probably, is belief in the world we know today is called Islam. And we have different other religions come from, Confucius or Hindus. They are the largest group. Place probably in the world, and they have so many views about religion that's been given to them. And what are we going to do with all these millions and millions of people who have been raised, born in a culture of darkness? And we got the nerve to call them pagans and heathens because they were born in that culture. That culture had nothing to do with how they were born in that culture. But they were born in the culture without the knowledge of the true and the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why the gospel must be preached to all the world. Matthew 28. The gospel of Christ must go to all the world, to every nation. Hallelujah. Do you think that's necessary, brother?
Oh, yes.
The gospel of Christ.
God has stressed that, brother. God has stressed that. Yes, it is.
So without the gospel of Christ, we have no hope. Now, we have this little earthly hope for a little while, live a little season, but we have no real hope, no eternal hope. Hallelujah. So we got to express why the gospel of Christ is the most important message in the world. Now, I know other people think messages, they may have their place and their time and their season to fill a gap, a temporary gap, a temporary need. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's another name for it called glad tidings, good news for the whole earth. That's what the angels in Luke chapter 2, when they came and appeared to the shepherds, they said, the angels appeared to these shepherds and says, good news, glad tidings. And they begin to sing. they began to sing, brother, in the heavens to the shepherds.
Amen.
And that was a beautiful note. Because the wonderful thing was about to happen in Israel, the Messiah, the hope of eternal, the Redeemer, the kinsman, the long-awaited promised one, was about to be born through a virgin. Amen. So, okay, when Adam sinned, he brought curse upon all mankind. What happened when Adam sinned and rebelled and partook of the tree of good and evil, bro? What took place?
Well, he became spiritually dead, according to the word of God, because Jesus said that the Lord said, the day that you eat that fruit, you shall die. And that happened. The spiritual death came as well as the physical death later on.
And there's one other death that nobody want to talk about. There's three parts to that death. The last one part of it is greater. That means being separated from God in the lake of fire forever.
Amen.
Now, that's the part that Jesus really came to redeem. Now, this is very important because the three parts of this death, when Adam sinned, he took up the tree of death. I call it the knowledge of death. He never knew what sin was. He never experienced sin. He never experienced death. He never experienced sorrow because he was made perfect, and he never knew sin. He never knew darkness. He never knew what sorrow was. He never knew what grief was. Never experienced it. But when he rebelled and ignored the word of his creator and was seduced by the evil spirit through his wife to partake of the tree, which is called, referred to as good and evil, I call it the tree of death because that's what it brought. Separation.
Mm-hmm.
Sorrow. Now, that curse came upon him and all of the human race that was born out of Adam inherit this spiritual separation and this sin nature. Now, what is this death? It's called the sin nature. The sin nature. We inherit a sin nature and a curse of spiritual death, physical death, and then eternal death. That means at the end of your life, the day of judgment, you are cast into the lake of fire, separation totally for eternity away from God, and you'll be there for eternity. But Jesus came, Yeshua, the Redeemer, came to redeem us, to reclaim us, to reconcile us, to deliver us. And
amen.
He came to give us fellowship back with the Lord. We had lost fellowships, was totally separated, spiritually dead. We started physically dying, and we was on our way to the eternal place. But God so loved. The Bible says in 3:16 that the Father so loved us. He so loved us. His love was so great that he had made a plan to redeem man. So,
amen.
He knew. He had already made a plan. He outfoxed the devil, and he had made a plan in eternity how to redeem man when he was fall. He didn't make man fall. Man made a free choice. He didn't make him fall. He didn't force him. Adam made a free will choice, just like we are making a choice today. God gave men free will and right to choose. Now, this is important that we understand the Lord made us, created us, and eventually he gave us the right to know choice, to choose. We're not robots.
Amen.
We're not robots. We're made in image and likeness. We have intelligence. We have a mind. We can choose. He gave us the right to choose. And
amen.
The choice that, and where people are making choices today, whether they should partake of the tree of death or the tree of life. Now, what's the tree of death? The tree of death is continuing in that sin nature of Adam that you were born in. If you stay in that sin nature, as you read in 2nd chapter Ephesians and 1st Corinthians 15, it talks about the sin nature that you inherit, which is called the cursed nature of death, eternal death. that in your nature, because you're separated and you're dead from God, you're separated spiritually. Now, in order to be redeemed from that sin nature, which is death and darkness and sorrow and grief, Jesus Christ had to come. The law of Moses was given to Israel to point out what sin was. But the law of God was holy. It could not redeem you from that sin nature. It could only tell you about righteousness and tell you what sin is, but it couldn't deliver you from that sin nature. So the law of God was given to Moses to point out what sin was, and they were to live according to the law. And the law is holy and still good, but if you rebel or broke that law in any way, curses was the least upon you. You sold what
Amen.
You reap. Now, Jesus
Amen.
Came to redeem us. Jesus Christ came not to redeem us from the law, like many Christians think that Jesus came to put an end to the law. That's not true. Jesus did not come to put an end to the law of God. Neither did he come to cancel the law of God. Neither did he come, look what it says. He didn't come to redeem us from the law, Galatians 3. He came to redeem us from the curse that the law brought when he convicted of a sin. Now your eyes are open because the law can tell you what sin is. And now you're guilty before God. And now you have to look to Jesus and repent in order to be delivered from the curse of the law. So that's the way the law fixes it, that the law could not redeem you from the sin nature or the curse of sin in them. But the law revealed what sin it was. And you're reading Galatians 3, if you want to, Romans 4 and Romans 6. If you don't want to take my admonition, you can read it in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 6, and go to Galatians chapter 3. It explains, and go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this explains it very clearly to you why you need a redeemer. Why you need to be redeemed from sin. You can't do it on your own power. You can't do enough good works and say, I'm going to be nice and that's going to redeem me. I'm going to do a lot of good works and that's going to redeem me from that sin nature. Nothing you can do in this earth can redeem you from that curse of that sin nature.
Amen.
Am I right, brother? I'm wrong. Correct me.
Amen. You're right. Amen.
So you can't do it, no good works and redeem yourself. You say, well, I'm a good person. But you can't redeem yourself. We say, I do enough nice things, but you can't redeem yourself. Well, I never hurt nobody. Oh, well, that's not quite true, but you still can't redeem yourself by your own good works. Nothing you can do of your good works to redeem yourself from that curse. See, that's why a lot of people think that all they have to do is be religious, and then they'll do so many deeds, they'll go to heaven. And you know, one of the sorrowful things, because I admired this young man, Muhammad Ali, one of the great sport figures and activists. He, near his death, because he believed in Islam, I read that he was, just before he died, he was really wondering had he did enough good deeds in order to get to heaven. See, Islam teach you that you have to do, the only way you can get to heaven is to blow up somebody that's against Islam, in a holy jihad war, and you'll go to heaven. That's the only sure way you can know. Now, that's a sad thing that Islam teaches you that the only way you can absolutely know that you're going to heaven is that you have to be in a holy war and blow up the infidels, and that's guaranteed you going to heaven. So the more people you blow up, that's guaranteed. So they go around and blow up people and thinking they got a sure heaven. Then the other second assurance they give you that you might go to heaven in Islam is that you do enough good deeds. So Muhammad Ali was wondering at the end of his death, had he did enough good deeds? And he, you know, I was so sorry that he never came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because he's depending on his good deeds in Islam, whether he's going to heaven. What do you think about that, bro?
Yeah, it is, brother, and I understand what you're saying because, you know, it's amazing that man has made so much, quote, accomplishments in this lifetime, but it all goes for naught if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord.
If you're not redeemed from that sin nature of Adam and making Jesus Christ to transform you and make your spirit alive to God, you cannot know life. Now, very important. Because a lot of people are doing good deeds all over the world, and they said, well, if I do enough good deeds and do help a lot of things, I have a sure way to go. What different gods they got? Mother Teresa, you ever heard of her?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Now, Ephesians says in chapter 2, Paul was in a very heathen atmosphere 2,000 years, because many people who were coming out of false religion was coming into the Christian church, and they were bringing their old religious belief from the religion gods, the pagan gods, they were bringing it into the Christian faith. So Paul had a lot of work to clear up to get all this stuff out of people about their false belief. He had a lot of hard work. And so Mother Teresa, most people have heard of her. This woman cared about the people in India, and she spent all her life feeling the hungry, the lepers, spending good deeds and living with them and helping them for just years and years. All the world, this woman was so good. At the closing to the end of her life, this woman who helped so many children, so many sick people, so many hungry people, who gave herself, who was in the Roman Catholic Church, at the end of her life, close to her death, I read that she was wondering whether she, and I read this thing, well, she didn't know whether she was going to heaven or not. She had no assurance, because in the Roman Catholic Church, I'm going to make a lot of people mad, but when you have what they call a prophetic warning message, like John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a make you mad message and make you glad message. I call it a make you glad and make you mad message. The gospel is the make you glad, but it's going to make many people mad. Is that right, brother?
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So I'm about to give you some good news. The Roman Catholic Church, there are many wonderful, great, loving people in there, most of them do not have the gospel of Christ. They're looking to the Pope and Mary.
Yeah.
Now, should I lie to people and ignore them and warn them that there's no salvation in there? Should I just let them stay in darkness and not warn them?
No, we got to warn them. That's part of our job, brother.
If I really love you, if I have the love of God, the love of Christ, then I must love you enough to warn you, right?
Amen.
Well, that's your business. Mind your business. I'm afraid it is my business. You know what my business is? It's to awaken and warn every person. I'm sorry, that
Amen.
Is my business. Jesus charged me. I got orders from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer. So no matter what mankind say, I have a higher charge from the living God. So no matter how many people say, oh, you shut your mouth, you don't know what you're talking about, mind your own business. I am minding my business. I'm minding the
Amen.
King's business. The King of Kings told me to declare the gospel of Christ and warn you, because I was in darkness. I was in darkness.
Amen.
And I'm glad somebody cared enough to tell me and give me the gospel. I'm so glad. And I know that many Hindus and Islam and the Roman Catholic don't get offended, but I have to give you the love of God if I really care about your eternity. I have to give you the love of God. You may hate me for a little while, but you'll love me when Jesus Christ comes in your life and redeem you and you miss
okay.
hell. I know you'd be super glad. So,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I done took up enough time. I done took the sisters' time, so I got to give them their 30 minutes. This is Handmaiden Women's Night, and they got to talk to the women around the world. And they are missionaries and evangelists they're not ordained, but they are missionaries by gift, because we're told to witness to the whole world, bear witness to the testimony of Christ to the whole world. So that makes us everyone's evangelist, because they're supposed to tell everybody about Jesus. Actually, you are my witnesses after the Holy Ghost. You are the body of Christ. You are sons and daughters. So they have the responsibility as a redeemed Christians to be a light and a witness to the world. So I'm going to let the sisters in Christ, this is their day, we celebrate and honor them. And so they may want to speak to somebody in Turkey or Africa, Guatemala, I don't know, or whether in the Caribbean, the islands, because we are to speak to people not just in America or the next street. We are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we're on the airwaves now, so what greater way than we can to give the gospel through the airwaves? All right, brother, mm-hmm. I have used my time, and we pray to you that if you want to receive the free blessings today to make a commitment to surrender, submit your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord, for he may come alive in your life and redeem you from that cursed nature of Adam. See, a lot of people don't understand, it's just not your sins that you committed. It's the sin nature of Adam. That's why you can't redeem yourself no matter how much good works you do of yourself. That's why Ephesians says you're not saved by good works. You can't receive the gift of salvation because you do good works. The way you receive the gift of salvation, it calls salvation a gift. You have to receive the Lord Jesus by faith and embrace him. And that's called receiving the gift, because you can't earn your way. You have to receive the gift of salvation and work out your soul salvation thereafter. Is that the kind of, you know, because, you know, most religions, you have to do a lot of works and a lot of good works, right, in order to get what they call karma or eternal life or whatever, right?
Amen. Amen.
And the devil has sown this seed of deception. I said the devil has sown this seed in all religions. Practice them of all. So when
Amen.
I get on this radio and we share what the Bible says about the only hope that the world has, the only eternal hope and the present hope, the only hope. You know, that's a lot of nerve to get on the radio, and another audacity, Brother Nate. You ought to be ashamed of yourself getting on the radio saying that the only hope and the only way. Ephesians 4 says there's only one way. Gospel of John chapter 10 says there's only one way, one door. John 6, one way, one door, one way. Now, you ought to be ashamed of yourself telling the people that's only one way, brother. Are you ashamed?
Oh, no, not at all, brother. I'm not at all.
Have you got your shield up from all that rocks and stones they're throwing at you? Are you you got your shield, your David shield up? Because, but we love you. We love you, saints. That's why we're here. That's why we don't spend all our time begging you for your money. But we could use money to spread the gospel. We're not saying that money, that you could not sow money, but we just don't beg people. If God wants us to have some to help spread the gospel and help the poor and the hungry, then he'll put it on your heart. And you'll freely give
Amen.
If you want to. All right. Our sister missionaries are representative of God and Christ and the body of Christ called the Elijah Message. Sister Lurleen Anderson and Sister Helen Tegel, and with the permission of their husbands, they are coming to us tonight. Because we have to recognize the husbandmans and the authority they have in their wives to getting permission. Hallelujah. Oh, I know Americans don't believe that they have to get permission from their husband. I know the other nations, the Asiatic and the Middle Eastern people, they understand the thought that their husband is too much, sometimes it's just controlling like a tyranny. But in America, we have so much freedom that no husband could tell me nothing. Well, why didn't you take the marriage vows? Did you know what you said? Do you think people listen to their marriage vows, brother?
No, I think some of them just be saying it. Let's hurry up and get this over with.
Get this up. Look at this. I just took an oath before God. I took an oath before God and man. And they said it, the marriage vow and the covenant. It's like, okay, let's hurry up here. Let's get this over here. We got better things
Amen.
To do. If I don't like him, I get rid of him. Hey, I get rid of the dog. Well, he's your dog now.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, sister. Beloved Anderson and...
Well, she's right here. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. I'm blessed of the Lord. And I did hear my wedding vows, and I took them seriously. And I thank God for you brothers minding the business that God have given to you to mind. And I just want to say I thank and I praise him for it, because in these days, the call of man is louder than the call of God. And I thank God that someone is listening. So I just thank God that someone is reading God's word, because there is only one way. And to anyone, wherever they might be, whatever, kind or color, it doesn't matter what nationality you are, even where you are in this world, the call is gone out. And I would pray and I would hope that whoever is listening tonight that have not considered or receive Christ Jesus into their lives by confessing their sin. And you have to believe that you are a sinner before you're going to confess your sins. And if you confess them, go before the Lord and confess that you are a sinner, that you know that Jesus Christ, that he lived, he suffered, he died, but most so that he rose again. He shedded the blood that we might be saved, that we might be delivered, that we might be made whole. And there is only one way, and that is through Christ Jesus. And I just thank and I praise the Lord for it, and for the ones that have accepted Christ Jesus into their lives, that are being persecuted, that are suffering for Christ's sake. I just want to send out a word and let them know that they are not alone. We are standing in the gap, and we are praying for them. We are praying for strength for them, and just thank God for them. Thank God for them for paving the way. Amen.
Amen. That's good news. That's the good news. And then after you know, Jesus Christ become real in your life through faith, and you'll call upon him, and as a sinner, you can receive the free gift of salvation by putting your trust in him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm under the sin curse nature, and I've committed sin, and you have paid a price on Calvary. You paid the penalty for me, that I don't have to pay the penalty. You paid the price to redeem me from the sin nature and my own sins. And today I made my confession and my faith to receive the gift of salvation in Christ, and that I can be part of the kingdom. And then from that time on, you have to be find a church home in Christ to be baptized in water in Jesus' name and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I have to emphasize this, because a lot of people think that just because they confess Jesus as Lord, that they're through. But no, that's two steps you have to take to follow through to make it complete. That you have to be baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ in water, to those that have authority, and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. This is very important to complete your life to what Jesus has presented to you. And I mention this because this is part of the gospel. And I have to give you this basic, fundamental, complete, basic step of redemption and salvation in complete. So completion.
Amen.
So I'm going to say I thank God for the husbands of the women that heal all around America, and all the husbands who permit their husbands continue with Christ and do the works of Christ. Because if you're a woman and your husband or somebody is, maybe they're not in Christ, or maybe they if they're in Christ, they won't allow you to fulfill your will in Christ, because a lot of things happen to people where they don't want you to do this, they don't want you to do that, because you're under your husband's authority, and then you have a conflict. But I'm so glad for the husband that permit their wives, and I'm so glad that the wives that don't give their husband any real difficulty for doing the will of God. And fulfill. But in some nations around the world, we are not familiar with Eastern and Middle Eastern culture, because we Americans think that everybody think like we think. We think everybody act like we act. We kind of think everybody like that. I'm afraid you are surprised. In many nations, the Hindu, the Islam, the Middle Eastern, the Asiatic community, their culture is different about marriage and about wives and about husbands, what they can do. So we are blessed to be in America. We're blessed to be in the culture where we have such liberty and freedom. So I want to express it, because we don't talk too much and explain to people when the gospel hit other nations. For instance, a nation, you can take the gospel, and in some nations they have five and six wives. But in Christ, they can't no longer have five or six wives. Now, see, there's a lot of things when the gospel go to people, we have to explain because they grew up in a culture where they were taught that it's okay to have for me have five or six wives. But I never understood, Brother Nate, why they don't have five or six husbands.
Right.
Wow, a woman can't have five or six husbands. To show you how backward the system is, the man can have 10 wives or 100 wives, but the woman can't have five or six husbands.
Amen. Amen.
Well, the Lord never really intended for men to have five husbands, five wives, a woman. But that came about through the fall of man. All this happened through the fall of man when Adam sinned. All of this confusion and this evil that, in my culture, the king, and if you can afford it, you can have six wives or 10 wives. Yeah, okay. So we had to teach people that come out of different cultures, and we go in to teach them the gospel that they no longer can have these wives and what they have to do with these wives in their culture if they want to remain in good standing with Christ. We have to do it kindly and lovingly and with patience. Now, they have many practices that Paul had to straighten them out in the New Testament, and they had to get this out of them. And so when you are talking to people of other nations, other cultures, other groups, you have to make known to them what is the will of God concerning their lives when they are made new in Christ. So we are thinking, where's Sister Helen at?
She's not on, so.
All right. Well, we continue to pray. Her family is coming out of that deep coves and stuff like that. Tomorrow night, I will continue on with the cursing of the law, the curse of the law, and the blessings of Abraham. And I'm led to stay on this for quite a while, and because it needs to be fully understood what Christ redeemed us from, because I don't think it's understood very well. Especially, I think the angel, that messenger that comes, have been coming for many years, has reiterated over and over, teach the whole truth. I said, why does he keep saying that, teach the whole truth, as written? And then he said, teach the full gospel. Well, when a person come telling you, said, teach the whole truth, or teach the full gospel, that means it must not be taught.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean,
amen.
That's not offensive. That's just a reality. And he gonna keep reminding you to teach the whole truth. If you're teaching it, why would he remind you?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
He said, "Teach the." If he said, He didn't say, he said teach the full gospel, the full plan of God. Well, Brother Nate and I are teaching a part of the plan of God that's not often taught.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm not and I'm going to say this. This sounds audacious and prideful. I am no longer afraid of what man says. I love the brother. I love everybody on my Christian. I can be corrected. I can be in error. I can be chastened. But I am not worried about what people say when I'm doing the will of God. So if you're going to throw some rocks at me, if you're going to throw some stones at me, make sure you throw them at Brother Nate first. Because I'm going to put all the blame on him. Because him and Brother Robert get on there, and they just open it up all kind of stuff. So I'm going to stand behind them, let the rocks hit them first. So, Sister Anderson, you standing in line. You behind me, so you better get your little chill, too.
Well, brother, I thank God. And what I have to say is when they ball up that fist to throw that rock, look how many fingers going to be pointing back at them.
Well, they ain't worried about that. They didn't love to throw rocks. You know, we used to throw a few rocks ourselves. So we got out of the rock throwing business and started we started throwing the gospel of Christ. So and the love of Christ, and thank God.
Amen.
Now, so I'll be continuing on this teaching about the covenant of Abraham, the blessings of Abraham that has come upon the New Testament church through Christ.
Yes.
And I'll be talking about the curses of the law. And I don't think that, Brother Nate, we understand the curse of Adam and the curse of the law. We still don't fully understand the effects of it today, what it's still doing to the earth and mankind today. And we're dealing with this. Now, if you ask yourself, did God ordain for you to die in sickness, disease, poverty, and plagues, and sorrow? Is that the will of God? Well, I don't know. Everything is the will of God. You have these certain amount of people, everything that happens is the will of God. Now, these people are good people. They just don't know any better, brother.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Hosea, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So the traditions of men, two things that blind people, ignorance and the traditions of men.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a good and wonderful person. Don't you think those people are good? They are intent, millions of bound at the foot of the Pope and Mary and praying to these people. These are good people. They don't know that they are deceived and in darkness.
Amen.
They're just ignorant of the truth of God. Huh?
Yes.
Amen.
Straighten me out. You know. So somebody got to love them enough to take the gospel of Christ to them and reveal it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, Brother Nate, him and Brother Robert, they got strong backbones. So when you listen to them through the week, Brother Rob and Nate, they got strong armor like David. And I want everybody to know I'm gonna stand behind them. And
well, brother, we in a sharing mood, so we won't let you stand back there too long.
I done got my share of rocks already, brother. It's like time, you know, I have shot enough rocks now. Sister Anderson, she's been in this way a long time. I got enough rocks to build two houses.
Oh, yes. That's true.
So it's time for y'all to get the rocks so y'all can build your own mansion.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, we're grateful that Jeanette Murphy Gillespie, what's her name? No. Jeanette.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, Murphy. She was in a car accident, and she's doing well and back at home. We're thankful for that. And Sister Helen, I guess she's full busy on the weekend. And Sister Helen, we want to greet you. And if you can just barbecue some chitlins for people. And because when you're born in the South, and we was talking about born in the South and raised in the South, about a lot of things that our mothers and grandmothers, because most Black Americans are intermingled with Indian in their heritage, Indians. And yeah. They have Indian roots in their heritage. And we inherit a lot of things, I know, from the African, but Indian race in our heritage. And we was talking about how grandmothers and grandfathers, how they healed us, how they taught us, and how they made us well, and how they instructed us in wisdom. So we was having a good time explaining about Father John, Black Droth, and talking about shucks and weeds and how they healed us with sassafras and how, you know, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, we got Sister Helen and, on, brother. God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless. I was just
go ahead, Sister. It all belongs to you.
On the broadcast, and I thank the Lord for the word that have gone forth, and it really have been a blessing, especially through the weekday with Brother Nathaniel, Brother Robert on the line, and how it's been such a great blessing. And we just really, really encourage each and everyone to tune in through the weekdays, 7 days a week, and listen to Blog Talk Radio, the good information that is going forth, the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, so we encourage everyone out there, if it's freely, you don't have to worry about being begged for no money, or we ain't got no scam, so you can freely listen in the nation about the revelation of Jesus Christ, that you receive something if you listen 7 days a week, 6 days a week, from 7 o'clock. What is that, Central Standing Time, brother? Central Standing Time is 7?
Yes, sir. 7 o'clock Central Standing Time.
And how they can listen to you? There's several ways they can listen to the broadcast. What are the three ways they can listen?
You can listen by laptop. You can listen with your smartphone or through your computer. You can listen to us on www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to the God.
Okay, what about
man,
the telephone number if they don't have any of these things?
Okay, the telephone number to call in is 323-870-3403. So if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. And when you go on the God's Word Demand broadcast, when you go on www.blogtalkradio.com, look for the God's Word Demand radio broadcast, and have a picture of a Bible there. Click on it, and you can hear us, you know, for these 7 days during the week.
Okay, and if a lot of you don't have computers to broadcast, you can take your phone and call the number and listen. You don't have to just ask for a question or a prayer request. You can also listen to the whole broadcast by your phone. So those that are limited, you call that number, and if you just want to listen, you can use it by phone or even telephone. This is 323-870-3403. And if you don't have any laptops or the other means to listen, you can just call in with a phone, your phone, and listen also. So there is basically 6 or 7 days a week, starting at 7 a.m. Around the world. If you have questions, even you just want to call in and add a comment or a question, you're free to call in. Just keep the question civil, sound, and for real and honest. And respect the broadcast. And respect the broadcast. I want to say this because there are some people out there who like to make fun of the things of God, and they don't know what they're doing. They're motivated by some kind of ignorance or the devil, and they'll get on the broadcast, and some people be out there, the devil will send them on the broadcast to disrupt or hinder. And so we're asking people, hopefully they don't do that, because we can't let that continue on, and that we have to shut them off. And we'll pray for them, and that God will deliver them. Then there's people who are sincere, who honest, may want to have a sincere, honest question, not just to argue or to fight, but just want us to share what our thoughts are about it. And we want to say to everyone, you don't have to agree with us. We're not arrogant enough to think that you just have to agree with us. We're not silly or arrogant that you just have to believe us. We just say, search the scriptures and see whether the things we're saying are true. Search the scripture honestly with an open mind, with prayer, and the Lord will help you to see whether what we're saying, whether it's really the platform of truth. And we don't say that it's not impossible for us to make error. We're human. It's possible for us to make a mistake, an honest error. Yeah, of course it is. So we're not saying that we're without error. We can't say that. I'm not infallible. I think the Pope is supposed to be kind of infallible in things that he speaks, but I'm not infallible. Okay. So I just want to get that straight. Okay. I don't know about anybody else whether they're infallible. What you say? Any other infallible out there? I don't know.
That's what he laid claim to.
So, you know anybody, other infallible people in the world that they can't make a mistake, or a human mistake? Or, I don't know.
No. You ain't going to find them.
Well, there's some people out there believe that they understand everything the Bible says. I heard people say, oh, I read the Bible, I understand all of that. I said, okay, no use of going any further with that conversation. So I just keep going. And then you bumping your head with that. Keep it real. Now, there's a lot to intercede for as we go off this broadcast. There's a lot, the intercessors, and I'm especially, for the last 8 or 9 years, has been on the importance of the intercessors in God. And even though everyone can intercede, every Christian can intercede and stand before God, there are special people chosen and anointed with a ministry of intercessory. And just like everyone can lay hands on the sick and ask for healing, there are some people who are specially chosen and gifted with gift of healing. So everyone can say, be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, but there are certain people who are anointed with a gift of tongue to give messages to the church and to different people. So we have to understand the difference. Everyone is called to prayer. Every Christian is.
The
prayer of the righteous man. But everyone is not chosen particular to stand in the gap to intercede for nations and people.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
There is a chosen people for certain things God wants to be done. So I'm just saying that find out what you're really chosen and anointed for, and develop that. And if you're trying to sing, there are some people, I'm not chosen to sing, but I will sing when the Lord says sing.
Amen.
I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. As they say,
amen.
I'm not doing it for you. So you ain't got to tolerate it, but the Lord will tolerate it.
Amen.
I don't know.
Amen.
Brother Nate, you sing pretty good. Are you called? Are you gifted to sing? Or are you just singing when the Holy Ghost says sing?
I'm with you there, brother. I sing when the Holy Ghost says sing. I do that.
All right, then. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Even the devil has to close his ears when I sing. God said, what? Close. Well, yeah. Well, get on out. If you don't want to hear, get on out. Get on out. Amen. You know, when the Holy Spirit come upon you to sing and praise, that's a difference. When just for that happens, then you're just being talented. A lot of people are talented.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are gifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But But I'll leave it right there. But
amen.
I'm going to close the talk. Now, if you don't believe this, if you get in a prayer and a fasting and praying and fasting, while you're fasting and praying, you'll find out that you can't listen to any kind of music. Now you don't understand that, but mm-hmm. if you're praying and fasting, you can put on certain people who call themselves gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
can't listen to it. You can't listen
no.
to it. You don't know why you get. Huh?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right.
Can't listen to it. Mm-mm. Sorry.
Well.
But, no way.
Ma'am.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Well, anyway, everybody got their personal choice. I mean, I understand everybody got a personal taste. So I leave every man to his personal taste. I love gospel choirs. I love sanctified Holy Ghost choirs. I'm not too much. I love the gospel choir, New York, or one of the sanctified Church
mm-hmm.
of God, and a different choir that I love. We call it the ministry of the grace of God. I'm not saying these other people are not blessed. Absolutely. But I'm saying I have my personal taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right then, and I I'm not against these people. I'm thank God for blessing. I don't listen mostly to the modern day so-called God. I don't listen to most of them. And I'm not saying they're not of God. I'm not saying they're not talented. I'm saying I don't listen to them. That's not my. It's not my personal thing. I'm not speaking against them or trying to offend them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I don't.
I don't. Mm-mm. I can't.
And I don't have nothing evil. Necessary against a lot of people. As we close, and we're thankful for this hour, a lot of this, well, no, I'm not going to say anything. No, I can't do that. As we close, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless,
praise Lord.
Bless people to hear
amen.
Today.
Yeah.
And gain hope. Hope.
Yeah.
Some living
Jesus.
Hope.
Yeah.
Concerning the gospel. In Jesus' name, as we close today, wherever you are, bow your faith and bow your heart and your hope to Jesus Christ as Lord and ask him, what must I do to be saved? And you'll know immediately the Lord will let you to know. If you got a Bible, read your Bible. If you go to a gospel church, listen to the gospel and obey. And we love you with the love of God. God bless you. Till tomorrow night. We talk about the curses and the blessings.
Amen.
Thank God, Father,
amen.
You're listening to the broadcast. As my brother said, don't forget tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement then at 7 o'clock p.m. For Brother Lee, Brother Nate, this is Sister Anderson, Sister Teague. We love you. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.